This is one of the most important and special times of this beautiful week. We had a great teacher that came our way, and if it wasn't for him, none of us would be here today. His name was Dr. Robert Bitzer. Dr. Bitzer's whole ministry was based on a concept: never forget principle, even on special occasions. I'm here standing in for someone else who's very special, and that was my dear wife, Dr. Carol Neal. Two years ago, she received this wonderful honor 3 days after her passing. Reverend Patty was so dear during that time because she knew what was ahead, and she sent this award to us before Carol's passing. So she had it, she celebrated it, and it was in her arms. One of the last things she did on this planet was to write her acceptance speech. And my daughter, Lynn, read it that day. And now it's 2 years later, and it's time to pass it forward. This wonderful honor is in honor of our best, clearest, and brightest, and most wonderful teachers, because Dr. Bitzer was an example of what this ministry is all about. This is a teaching ministry, and no one represented it better than Dr. Robert Bitzer. He had a wonderful student, and I'm sure many of you here are his students, and will celebrate his guidance, his direction for the rest of your life. Today we honor someone else who is a light, a shining light in this organization, and because of his consciousness and love and dedication and commitment to the example of Dr. Robert Bitzer, we are all a better organization. I am speaking of Dr. David Walker.
What do you want me to do? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
All of you seem to know him better than I do. He is past president of Religious Science International. His service to this organization is beyond description. He has been my dear friend for almost 30 years now, and I celebrate him as I know all of you do. Let's welcome him now to receive this wonderful award, the Dr. Robert Bitzer Legacy Award, presented to Dr. David Walker. This is truly an honor and truly well-deserved. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. David Walker.
Thank you. What am I going to do now? Oh, okay, thanks.
Dr. Candace Beckett.
See, I told you guys I was too short, so they just look right over me. Okay. Here, can you hold that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, they printed it backwards.
Oh, no, it's so sad.
You're dyslexic.
Is this the right one?
He taught me everything I know. Patty said not to touch it, you'll get fingerprints.
Okay.
I want to read the certificate to you. Religious Science International Legacy Award, the Robert Bitzer Award. This award is extended by Religious Science International to Dr. David J. Walker, for exemplifying the legacy of Dr. Robert Bitzer in teaching the science of mind principles at the highest level and telling the story of consciousness in the most comprehensive way. for distinguished service, outstanding achievement, commitment to education at all levels, and being a clear channel for the flow of spirit to express by means of teaching, speaking, and writing. We commend and salute this individual who has given the extra gift of self and love with dedication, bestowed this 27th day of July 2004. So on behalf of the Board of Directors, the Board of Education, of all the ministers, of all the practitioners, of all the wonderful participants of religious science, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I don't have too much to say except thank you, because following this award is my talk, and I don't want to give up any time from my talk. So thank you, and moving on. Asilomar, a good place to have your answers questioned. Two years ago at a ministers' conference, several of my newly credentialed ministers gave me a sign that said, "Life is good." And this was a great present for me, because that's the way I've greeted people for years. Life is good. Yes, I will say to someone, and usually they'll say, yes, life is good. Now, I stop asking people how they are, because some people tell you. When I say life is good, what I'm really saying is, I know a lot has happened to you since the last time we met. I certainly know a lot has happened to me. But in spite of it all, life is good, yes?
Yes.
Good. I believe that life is good no matter what is or what isn't happening in our lives. For life is bigger than the way it appears in anyone's life, whether it's your life, my life, or anyone else. But what is it about life that makes it so good? Two things, I believe. First and foremost, there is a divine principle within each one of us that enables us to determine what our life will look like. And secondly, that regardless of what experience we cause or don't cause, by using this divine principle, our relationship to God never changes. Our awareness of our relationship to God may change, but our relationship to God does not, cannot change. Why is this? Because God can only relate to us at one level, at the level of the way we identify ourselves and what we're causing to appear or not appear. I'd like to repeat that. God doesn't relate to us at the level, you have to read every word once you've written it, you know. Leave out a word and it changes your whole talk. And my point is, God doesn't relate to us at the level of the way we identify ourselves. Now I'm back on track. Or at the level of what we've caused or not caused. God relates to us only in one way, and this is at the level of God's own nature, which means God relates to us only at the level of our true identity, which is an individualization of God, we've heard it before, and our ability to create. Now, why is this? And understanding why is very important. Because God is our identity, and God is our ability to create. This is why we say God doesn't judge us. And it's not so much that God doesn't judge us, it's that God cannot judge us. For God to judge us, God would have to have an opinion about and a reaction to what we've created. This is a platform that Orthodox religion has used for many years as doctrine, but it's something that we in Science of Mind have moved away from long ago. If it were true that God had an opinion about what you have created, good or bad opinion doesn't make any difference, and a reaction that is equal to that opinion, you would probably spend the rest of your life trying to please God, feeling good when you did and shamed when you didn't. That's something I certainly did when I was a child. But this isn't the case. Our study of the science of mind has brought us to a place where we don't do what we do to please God. We do what we do to satisfy a divine creative urge within us. And there is a big difference. If we can only contact God through our own mentality, it is our own mentality that we have to please. I'll repeat that. If we can only contact God through our own mentality, it is our own mentality we have to please. We haven't been raised that way. We've been raised, I certainly was, to please God. I've now learned that my job in life is to please myself. It's something that's really, I can say, harder and yet easier to do. There's a difference between contacting God and experiencing God. Probably the simplest way to put it is we meet God everywhere, but we experience God only within our own minds. Dr. Holmes said it, God in man as man is man. Women? Ooh, ooh. Everybody, ooh. Now, I said that purposely, knowing you would have that reaction. And I want you to know that I fully celebrate the authority that women have in life. For surely it proves that God in woman as woman is woman. Outside the pearly gates, there were two signs. One says, all those men who are dominated by their wives stand here. And behind that sign, there was a long line as far as the eye could see. And over here, there was another sign that says, all the men who dominated their wives stand here. And there was one little old man standing there. And St. Peter walked up to him and said, excuse me, sir, are you sure you're in the right line? And the man says, I think so. My wife told me to stand here. I will win the female vote, won't I? If the life force that indwells us could talk, if God in us could talk, this is what God would say, I believe. You will always be my beloved, and I'll always be pleased with you regardless of what line you stand in, regardless of what you do or you don't do. I can just hear a newcomer here saying this morning, boy, what a religion. Only 2 days and I found out that these people are free to do just about whatever the hell they want to do. That's true. You heard it here. It's absolutely true. We are free to think, say, and do whatever we want to do. But there's a caveat. I think caveat is by Chevy, isn't it? To that great truth. And Dr. Holmes calls it the inevitable consequence. Dr. Holmes tells us that the world, the universe is for us, but he then tells us that even though the universe is for us, our experience of life will be the inevitable consequence of what goes on in our minds. When I believed in the old way, I spent my life approaching God on bended knee as I looked up to the skies, or the ceiling if I was indoors. You know, I got to thinking of this, all of those of us who, when we mention God, we still do this. And I thought if we really believed God was up in the skies, we'd go over to a window somewhere, open it up and say, I hope I demonstrate. So the proof that you believe God is within is that when you're indoors, you still look up. Whatever that means. Moving right along. When I used to believe God was up in the skies, I used to say when I did something, God, look at me. Look at what I've done. Aren't I wonderful? You like me better now, huh? And when I did something that wasn't so good, I would say, as I looked up in the skies, look, I couldn't help this. I didn't do it. It wasn't my fault. The setup requires that kind of a response, doesn't it? Something outside of me. Look, I didn't do this. And I have the right to say that because you don't know what's going on in my mind, so I didn't do it, I thought. And I function that way as a Catholic, I will say. What I've learned since is that rather than looking to see if God had noticed what I had done or noticed what I haven't done or overlooked what I haven't done, Instead of that, I should be looking for the inevitable consequences my mind is causing by the way it thinks and the way it feels, by my opinions and my attitudes. I'd like to repeat what I said. God doesn't relate to us at the level of what we're causing, good or bad. God relates to us only at the level of what we are, our true identity, and our ability to create. Not what we've created, our ability to create, because God is both. Here's a rather shocking statement, but I believe it's absolutely true. God is not interested in what you create. God is not interested in what you create. God is only interested in your creative ability. God is interested only in what you are, not what you've created or not created in your life. I realized several years ago, even after I became a minister, that even though I called myself a metaphysician, my belief in a sky god had quite a hold on me. And even though I told myself that I believed in this inner God, the specter of a sky god always loomed in the background when I did almost anything. And it bothered me. But then I realized that makes sense, Walker. After all, you've spent most of your life thinking about a sky god, more time thinking about a sky god than you did an inner God or the atheism that you carried around with you, meaning me. Well, the sky god would sneak up on me then when I least expected, and I'd be in the middle of a class, and I'd be talking about the indwelling presence, and I would talk about God, and somehow my eyes would start going up. It would take the form of also thinking about a demonstration and finding myself not going over to the window, but just saying, I have demonstrated, I have truly developed the consciousness of this idea, I have embodied it thoroughly, I will demonstrate. What is that indicative of? I still, at some level of my mind, am talking about something outside of myself. Anyway, as I studied this thing called the science of mind, I realized why I was bothered by having this sky god in my life. And the reason is, when I believed in a sky god, that's all I believed in. I didn't believe in an inner God. Now, today, I believe in both. Because God is everywhere. Of course God is in the sky. Of course God is within me. You know, you don't have to give up the sky god you grew up with if you realize that God is also within you. I'll repeat that. You don't have to give up the sky god that you grew up with when you realize that God is within you. And the place you're going to contact that God then is not up in the clouds, it's within your own mind. That's good thinking. Because for many years I used to think in the science that I had to give up that sky god. And I did pretty well, at least I did when I talked about it and I taught it. There is no sky god. But as I mellowed in this science, and that's the whole purpose of being in this science, is to get beyond the strictness, or so it seems, and to mellow to a place where you realize, you know, there really isn't a sky god. There really is a sky god. If God is everywhere, then hello, sky. Yes, doesn't that make sense? We can't say one and exclude the other. If God is everywhere, you betcha God is in that sky, but God is also in me, and when I realize the only place I'll contact that God isn't up in the sky, or getting down on my knees or folding my hands, it's within me. When I go to that place within me, which is transcendent of all my experience, that place in me which doesn't care what I experience, doesn't care what my experience, it cares what I am. Because what I am, I take with me throughout eternity. What I experience, what I create, I'm going to let go. Because that's the way life is. That's why I say life is good. The only time you can say your life is good is when everything in your life is perfect. You're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on effect and not cause. What's important is that there's a part of you which remains perfect throughout eternity, and it will never be affected by what you do or don't do. I just was given an award, and I love it. And I poise myself to receive many awards in the future, I want you to know. But the reward doesn't make me any better than what I am. It doesn't change my identity in God, and God doesn't say, oh, yippee, one of us won an award down there. God doesn't care what my experience is. God relates, the life force relates to me at the level of what I am, not at the level of the awards given to me. It's a great thing to know. What's important also is our ability to affect our lives with our thought. Now, Dr. Holmes says something I've always loved. He says there's a depth and meaning to your own being. And if you can discover it, it'll answer all your questions. I love the little story about the girl who had a question for her mother. She says, "Mother, how did I get here?" And the mother replied, "Well, God sent you." "Well, how did you get here?" asked the little girl. And the mother said, "God sent me." "Well, how did Grandma and Grandpa get here?" She says, "God sent them." He says, "How about Grandma and Grandpa's parents?" "Well, God sent them too." The little girl thought for a moment. She says, "You mean nobody in our family has had sex for over 200 years? No wonder everybody's so grumpy." So when Dr. Holmes says there is a depth and meaning to your own being, if you can discover it, it'll answer all your questions. It would have answered that question too. You know, it's a great relief, my friends, to come to a point in your life when you realize you don't exist to please God, but rather to figure out a way to be pleased with yourself, regardless of what is or isn't happening in your life. That's the rub. We think we know how to please ourselves by accomplishing something, and that's a trap. Because it sounds like a rational approach to life, but it isn't. Because it is postponing the most important issue we will ever confront. Simple, direct self-acceptance. Not an acceptance of what I've created, but self-acceptance. I need to accept my identity in God and my ability to create. Look at the sunshine as it spills from the sky. It's beautiful in and of itself. Its nature doesn't change because it illumines the earth. It was beautiful when it left the sun. It remains beautiful as it touches the earth. You were complete when you left the infinite arms of the infinite. And you're complete now, whether you have accomplished something or whether you have not accomplished something. I wrote that, by the way. It's not Emerson, it's me. If we don't get that simple truth, dear ones, we spend the rest of our lives trying to prove ourselves rather than accepting ourselves just as we are. And that's why you're here this week, because life is good and you're good in it. Life is good because completeness can't be bought or sold. You can't win it. You don't become more of something because you accomplish what you set out to do. And this doesn't denigrate accomplishing what you set out to do. It puts it in its place, a logical place. And also life is good because we have the ability to create our experience of life, and that can't be bought or sold. If you accept yourself only because you've accomplished something, you haven't accepted yourself. You've accepted the accomplishment. And boy, if we can truly get what that means, life becomes an exercise in first accepting the simple thing called my life, and then look at what I've accomplished from a different standpoint. I believe the soul yearns for a recognition of its existence, not its ability to create something or what it has created. It ultimately yearns for a simple recognition of its existence. Well, you're worth more than you'll ever accomplish. You're worth more than you'll ever develop the ability to understand. That's what it is to individualize God. We talk about individualizing God. That's what we are. That's what's important. What we create or don't create isn't important in the grand scheme of things, but I know how important it can become. And that's okay as long as we make who we are more important. Your existence is what makes you important. And again, that's why life is good. So stop looking for people who agree with life is tough. Stop looking for people who say, "You know, science of mind is hard to practice because it's done unto us as we believe." If you look for those people, you will find them. If you can't wait till your teacher says, "You know, I've taught you a great lesson, but sometimes none of this is possible." I won't even go there. I will just say this: anything you can conceive, you can achieve. That is either the truth, actually, or it's good press. We have not maintained our existence as religious science with good press. We've maintained it by having a teaching that can be proven. It is without superstition. It is without dogma. It doesn't depend on any one person articulating it in a particular way. It depends on the individual. That's what there is to celebrate about our religion. That's really what there is to celebrate at Asilomar, you. We all are an individualization of the mind of God. What we've all created together or separately is wonderful. And we can because we have that creative ability. But as we meet each other through eternity and bump into each other along the way, I'm getting a wax poetic for a moment, and bump into each other through eternity along the way, we'll have forgotten what we accomplished. I will have forgotten that I won the Robert Ritzer Award. You will have forgotten what you accomplished this year. And all we'll really have left is the eyes of God, looking at the eyes of God. And that's what makes life so wonderful. You're wonderful in life, and don't ever forget it. And if there's something in your life this last week or so that you haven't accomplished and you're feeling bad about it, don't you dare feel bad about it. Turn within and celebrate who you are and what you are and realize that that's what's important. What you accomplish is secondary. You're enough right now. And what you've got to know is that you're enough throughout eternity. So I close by saying life is good because the creative process within you never stops working. And you're good in it because you never lose the ability to use that process to your own benefit. There's a depth and meaning to your own being. Discover it by simply acknowledging it. And never forget that regardless of whatever is or isn't happening in your life is good. Thanks.
Thank you.